What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 15 of the Tucson Pinball Podcast. So this last weekend was the state championship series finals for 2016. It takes a little while for all the processing to go through, and you got to delay the event just a little bit. So, and I misspoke last time. It's not the first Sunday after the Super Bowl. It's the first Saturday after the Super Bowl. I had a couple friends be like, I heard the podcast. You're going to be on time, right? Because it's not tomorrow, it's today. So yes, thank you friends for looking out for me. And I was happy to participate again this year. So the top two finishers this year, they didn't gain any spots. They finished the exact order that they finished last year, which I'm sure frustrates Mark Pearson just a little bit, knowing that Will got the upper edge on this event, because they tend to trade first and second in a fair amount of the larger events. So how about we just go over the list and just kind of see how everybody fared compared to last year. We had a couple new participants, not necessarily new faces, but new participants. And so if I say plus and a number, that means that this person did better than last year by that many spots. If I say minus, that means they did not do as good as last year by that many spots. So let's just go over it. Will, plus zero. Mark Pearson, plus zero. So Matt finished third. Tucson guy, proud of him. He's plus 13 only because he was the one that was not able to attend last year. So that's kind of, you know, gray area, whatever. He just didn't get a number last year, which it probably would have been decent. Ben did not, I don't think he made it to the qualifying, like top 16, whatever, last year. So he was new, but he finished fourth. Dave finished down two spots from last year. Derek finished up two spots from last year. Tracy was in seventh, finished up three spots from last year. Greg finished down four spots. Wayne finished up two spots. Robert Noble finished up two spots. Funny thing is, last year, Robert Noble and I, we were back-to-back again in our respective places. I finished one spot ahead of him last year. This time, we just did a little bit better for both of us. I'll get there. Anyways, Mark Lindberg finished down four spots. Jim finished up one spot. Henry finished down eight spots, courtesy of Tracy's hand. Mike was new this year. John finished down six spots. And Jeff was new to the finals this year as well. So a lot of familiar faces, like I mentioned. And, you know, it's kind of, I don't want to say a hodgepodge, because that's not really the proper way to describe it. But it really is, it's a pretty tight shuffle in the state. You know, there's a few tiers, I guess, of, you know, guys that you're like, okay, when you see them walk through the door, or gals, you're like, nah, I think they've got a chance at, you know, taking the top spot, or this is kind of where, I mean, I don't do this to everybody that walks through the door. It's like, okay, I can beat you, I can't beat you, I should be able to beat, you know, I don't know. I don't really do that, but I know some people are like, okay, if these people show up and these people show up, I think I'm going to finish about here. I mean, I think to a certain extent everybody does, because we're so familiar with each other. But, you know, it's a good field. It's always a good good group, and both in skill competition and in camaraderie. Everybody's pretty cool, pretty mellow, and it was a good time. There's a lot of a lot of games in the event, which is good because pinball machines do what pinball machines do. And so we had to knock a few out as the day went on. But, you know, overall, it's a fun event. It's definitely something to it takes a lot of effort to qualify for these things for some people. But, you know, for the rest of us that, well, I'm in that group. Some of the folks got in with, like, five entries on the year because they just win stuff. Trent Augustine count. There was zero Trent Augustines in Arizona. And that's kind of funny because he finished like third or fourth in the state with Re Events, and he lives in Ohio, in case you're not familiar with that name. He owns Tilt Amusements, which is the largest Stern distributor in the world. So yeah, that was it was a fun event. Batman 66 had been delivered the afternoon before, and that was in the event, and it was fun. It's a good game, fun shots. The code's very early, but it's kind of a habit that Stern has. So I'm excited to see where that progresses into, and yeah, it was good. A lot of DMDs though. I think I looked and every single game was a DMD. So not a ton of technology variety. So maybe that's something to shoot for in the future. But you know, whatever. It's always a fun event. Let's see. So funny stories. I think I had the, or at least tied for the best winning streak. The only problem is I lost my first round. So what that did to me is that knocked me out of the group of eight, you know, that moves on to the second round. I got skunked by Matt. He crushed me. Actually, it was 4-0, but there were two games where it was potentially going to go my way. And then when you score like, oh, I don't know, 10 million on creature, something like that. It was less than 20, 10, 18, whatever it was, it doesn't matter. Because he put up like 1.1 something billion. So yeah, that was kind of conclusive on that one. That was game four. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go find the EGs now. Thanks, Matt. But Matt's a good guy. And he's always, he's pretty humble about things. He's just like, yeah, you know. It's the way it goes sometimes, and you know, he's a good player. You know, you don't mess around because he'll take you out. But so super happy with him finishing third in the event, and then so we had of the top 10 players, we had 6 people from Tucson, which I think is a pretty healthy showing, and I don't think that's something that's going to be present for the 2017 SCS. I just think that with the amount of events and the amount of new players that the Phoenix area has, I just don't see nearly as many Tucson players qualifying for this. And so obviously there's not going to be as many in the upper ranks of this final next year. But you know what? It is what it is, and the 2016 showing was pretty good. So Will is invited to Dallas for the national... Not even really national because there's 7 Canadian provinces that are also going to partake in the U.S. national. So I think they're calling it like the North American SCS Championships or something, whatever it is. It's in Dallas and it's in like a month. And so we'll hopefully get out there and do some Arizona players proud, because he's good, obviously, but he can compete on the national level. I've seen him at Indisc the year before I went. I think he finished 3rd or 4th, something like that. So that's obviously a SoCal concentration of players, and then you've got the Pacific Northwest guys that come down, and you know, Will's got a long competition history, and he's he knows his stuff. But it was kind of funny because Will and Robert Noble got paired up in the first match. And both of those players are known to live and die by the second danger. So there was a lot of tilting going on in that round. And it was fun to watch. You know, they both kind of recognized that everything was really tight. And, you know, Noble made some comment. You know, he's like, I've only tilted 2 of the 3 balls on this game. Which, you know, that's funny. So it was a good time. It was at D&D. It was a lot of fun, obviously. We were at D&D, and yeah, that was kind of the recap there. Let's see, moving on to topic number 2. So on Friday, I got an attack from Mars, and we played a little guessing game on the Facebook page, and the attack from Mars needs a little work. It should have just needed up to 4 diodes replaced on the board and a fuse so that the controlled lights in the center will work, because that's not to get overly technical, but there's, in order to convert AC to DC, you rectify it and you use either rectifiers, or in pinball machines, you use bridge rectifiers. And those are those square things with the four wires coming out of them. And, but on Attack from Mars, the board has just four diodes, because all that's in there is four diodes. And the board has four diodes for each voltage that is getting rectified into DC. And the 18 volt, which is all the controlled lighting, was blowing the fuse. So either one or up to four of those diodes was bad. I measured them out. Two of them were bad, swapped them out. It was 10 minutes, popped the new fuse in, and, you know, everything's reading fine. The problem is that the machine was dropped in transit, and so the front right of the cabinet is split, and the four corners of the head are split, and the rails were smashed. And that's what compressed the glass and shattered the glass. So I spent about an hour and a half plus vacuuming out all the glass, and now I'm working on the board stuff, and then the cabinet stuff will come later. And this is more of a project than I really wanted to do on this game. I really wanted to get out on location and have everybody playing it, and you know, bring one of those top 10 titles, one more of those to the Tucson area. But it's not going to be a one-day turnaround. So kind of bummed about that. Actually, really bummed about that. But there's not much you can do. And so, yeah, that just kind of sucks. So, yeah, troubleshooting loose connections and random things and all these little gremlins that pop up when a game gets dropped or smashed or whatever the heck they did to it. It kind of sucks, because you're just like, I thought I fixed that, and then it's back, and then there's something else that popped up. So it's kind of like electrical whack-a-mole, and that sucks. So, let's see, third topic. So I have I don't know if it's not really an obsession, and it's not really confession, but I have a thing for the 1976 Bicentennial Quarters. I've always been fascinated by them. They're the one with the drummer boy on it. And I got one this week, and it might be the nicest shape one that I think I've ever seen that's been in circulation. And I can almost pinpoint the exact moment when I thought these quarters were the coolest quarters ever. And it's because my parents have 10 sets of these things, and they're in like the little plastic cases. And so those are uncirculated, and they've obviously never been opened and handled. So I think that's where my interest in these came about, and every now and then you'll find one and you know, be like, oh, that's cool, and then you stash it away, and then it gets spent on something. You're like, oh, I was meaning to save these. So anyway, since we started this location hobby thing, I've actually been kind of not like one by one sorting through the quarters, but if the drummer boy catches my eye, I'll set it aside, and I want to do a cool, like, display thing when I get 100 of them. I want to do, like, a 10x10 and like, carve it either out of wood or maybe, like, 3D printed or something cool like that, and then have, like, a plexiglass cover on the front so that all the quarters can show. And I might tumble them to clean them up, and I might not. I don't know. It's just kind of something that I've been working on. And I think I'm up to like 66 of them, so I'm still a little ways away. But I saw one. Oh, and the other thing is the state quarters, the Indianapolis 500 one. It looks, because it's got like a ring of stars, or it's like a firework or something like that. On the drummer quarter, there's a ring of stars around a torch. And they look really similar when you just, like, quick half-second glance at stuff. And so I have snagged more Indianapolis 500-themed quarters, thinking they were drummer boys, than I probably should have. But it's kind of cool. The way I notice them is, obviously, if the drummer boy side is up, I snag that. If you see an eagle, then it's not one of these, because that's the same. That's what is being replaced on the 1976 quarter. So you've got the George Washington head on the other side, and instead of having just 1976, it's got 1776, and then a dot 1976. And that's under the the neckline of the Washington image on there. And the new quarters, and this is how you tell that the new quarters are not the old ones. That date is in a different area. And a lot of times you can just tell by how shiny they are, kind of the shimmer on them. But this, and that, so that's either, you know, one side or the other. That's kind of how you do a really quick validation of what you have. But this one caught my attention because I saw the date, and then I looked again. I was like, wait, that thing is like almost, it's got the, it's not like smoothed out like a worn quarter has. It looks like one of those, and it's even got like a sharp edge. I'm holding it right now. The ridges, the texturing on the ridges, I don't even know what that's called, but it's like the scoring that goes all the way around. It's like a serration that goes all the way around. Like, that's actually got some texture to it. And then the corner, you can tell it's still got a little bit of that, of an edge in manufacturing. That would be considered a sharp edge. It's not really, but it's something that you would put on a drawing to say break all sharp edges, and so that people don't get cut. But like, you can tell that this has not been handled a ton, and I just thought that was so cool because it still has that shimmer. Like, you can move it back and forth, and you don't see very many scratches at all. And a lot of times with these quarters, because they're the age they are, like the head of Washington is kind of worn into the coin a little bit, and like the edges are definitely rounded out, and then those serrations are along the perimeter. Those are always, I mean, you handle enough quarters, you figure out that unless it's really new, that's going to be, you know, really worn down. But this thing has got cool texture and cool visuals the entire way around. And yeah, so if you want to talk about kind of interesting, not really obsessions, but, you know, whatever. Like, I like the Drummer Boy quarters, and I think I found the cleanest circulated one that I've ever seen. I mean, all the other ones, like I said, are worn, and I mean, I'm gonna have to put some of them in a tumbler. They've just been, oh my goodness, they just need a good cleaning. And I'm sure they'll clean up nicely, but nothing is gonna come close to this one. It's just so cool. So anyways, funny things you find in a pinball machine. Yeah, that was kind of it. You know, just nice short episode, just kind of talking about current events and, you know, the good things, the bad things, and the interesting things. So that was kind of it. So thanks for tuning into this one. I have no idea what we're going to cover next, because the beginning of the year is just kind of like the culmination of so much stuff. And then now it's like, all right, well, what's next? Well, what's next is Texas in like a month, a little over a month. So time to get prepped for that. Hopefully they release the game list soon and for the tournament. And there's some seminars I'm really excited about checking out. So we'll see what happens there, and hopefully they'll get some of that stuff out. I mean, the scheduling for the seminars, that's already been put out, but I'm more speaking to the game list in the tournament, and I don't even really need to know the game list that's gonna be in the free play area, because it's gonna be awesome. Last year there was tons of stuff there. And this year there's going to be stuff there too. I'm really excited that Spooky's going to be there. They're going to have their Domino's machine, and they're going to have Jetsons, which just got revealed here, I don't know, like 2 weeks ago, if that. And those are both going to be in the free play area, so hopefully get a chance to play those a little bit. I've played America's Most Haunted a little bit. I've played Rob Zombie in a couple different spots at these shows. And so this is game, well, these are both Domino's and Jetsons are both considered contract games as far as Spooky's concerned, because they're not original designs by Spooky. They were both approached to do both of these games. So, so they call those contract games, but either way, I mean, they were made by Spooky, and, I'm excited to play two more Spooky built games, whether they were, you know, however much level of involvement they have. And you know, Domino's, I know that they assisted with the design, but they program the whole thing, they manufacture the whole thing. I think the only thing that's being done by Spooky is the programming on Jetsons, and then obviously the manufacturing. But the
not, I don't want to say the concept, but the desire to go after this license was done by the pinball company, which is a pretty large retail pinball sales shop in the Midwest. And then it was, the art was done by, I can't remember the name of the guy right now, but he's like a comic book guy. He nailed it. He crushed it. I mean, if you've seen the Jetsons, you sit there and you stare at the game, and you're like, holy crap, that is perfect. And it looks really cool. Like, the art is really cool looking. I don't know. I'm really excited to play it because I'm not their target market, and it is intentionally designed as a more simplistic game, but that doesn't mean it's going to be boring and not fun. Like, it just looks fun. It looks exciting. It may be a little bit more simple, but it looks really cool. So, yeah, that's kind of it. So yeah, Texas, here we come. And, the Tucson list is pretty healthy. So looking forward to that. So check out the Facebook page, because I'm going to be posting some updates as things go on with Attack from Mars. I'm not going to post everything, because this is going to be just a ton of work going into it, and not many milestones to hit. I mean, like the cabinet and the head, that's all going to be one thing, but it's going to take days and days to prep and then get everything ready and then glued and squared up and just, oh my goodness, just carpentry galore. So, but yeah, I mean, and if you've seen the pictures, which I don't think I've put very many pictures of anything, but yeah, it's not a pretty sight. So I'd rather just, you know, get it all done behind the scenes and kind of just do text updates and then have everybody enjoy it once it's out. But it couldn't have happened at a worse time, because I have high speed, the cabinet's finished, the head's finished. I actually put the head back on the cab last night, and there's like a grounding board in the back that all the other CPU, or not CPUs, but all the other computer boards bolt into, and everything but the CPU or the main board is in there. I need to replace one transistor, and then I can put that back in and then start wiring everything up. And it just helps to consolidate the space, because a pinball machine, when it's taken all apart, takes up a ton of space, and I need that room so I can take the playfield apart and sand it down and clear it and level all the inserts and then put the decals down and then clear over that and then put the overlay down and then clear over that and then put it all back together. So I made an order today. Parts are going to be coming in, and yeah, it's been a very slow start, just because it's been cold, and a lot of this restoration stuff, it doesn't really like cold weather, and clear coat especially. You can't shoot clear under a certain temperature, and we are coming out of that now, so it's all good, and things are going to be speeding up really quickly, so hopefully high speed will be ready, and I hate making timelines, but I'm not going to say ready in 2 weeks, but there should be a healthy amount done to the playfield as far as the overlay and clear coating and stuff like that. It might take me several days to put it back all together, and then got to do a lot of the lighting and just ticky-tack stuff. But hopefully I'll have the playfield completely done and curing from all the clear coat in 2 weeks. That's the goal anyway. So, fingers crossed, wish me luck, and we'll see you out there. Party on.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth.
It's Wayne's World. Wayne's World. Party time. Excellent.
And we're clear.